Hundred Years' War, the interim period, 1340 to 1345. England, 1341. The end of the constitutional crisis. In England, Edward III's government was finally beginning to emerge from the king's savage purge of his administration and the constitutional crisis that occurred. Parliament began to assemble on April 23, 1341, and stayed in session until the last week in May. Edward adeptly retreated before the storm of protest against his conduct during the last 4 months. He abandoned his judicial commissions. He renounced the attempt to collect the ninth tax of 1340 from the clergy. He submitted to statutes providing for the enforcement of the Magna Carta against his ministers and the appointment of officers of the state and of members of his household who should be answerable to Parliament. He agreed to an audit of his government's use of the tax receipts going back to the beginning of the war. In return, Edward III obtained a fresh parliamentary grant in kind of 30,000 sacks of wool, which relieved some of the most severe pressures on his budget. Edward III was far more adept at reading danger signs than either his father or grandfather had ever had. He did broaden his circle of advisors. He mended his quarrel with Stratford, actually allowed charges against him to be forgotten, as also he restored him to most of his old influence. Stratford forgot his radicalism and became a loyal as ever subject to Edward. The result was, within a few months after the dispersal of Parliament, Edward III had recovered enough of his authority to annul its more unwelcome statutes by simple royal warrant. Never again, at least until the years of his senility and decline, did Edward III misjudge the political mood of England so completely as he had in 1340. Edward's retreat from the abrasive manner of the previous year enabled him to contemplate, however distantly, the resumption of the war with France, which would begin when the truce of Esplanade expired, and that should have been June the 24th, 1341. What was envisaged was negotiations for a permanent settlement, but now Edward III showed no interest at all to begin serious negotiations with the French government, and his defeat and bankruptcy in 1340 only sharpened his determination. In April, he told Parliament that war with France was expected to last for many more years and obtained the consent of the Lords for another seaborne expedition to the European continent. Preparations actually began in February 1341 and were expected to be complete by the end of May 1341. The plan was, the very least, very ambitious. An army of 13,500, of which two-thirds would be archers. Only when the expedition was delayed did Edward III show any interest in resuming diplomatic contact with the French, and only then for securing a short-term extension of the truce, which happens frequently in the Hundred Years' War. There's truces and truce extensions and all sorts of stuff. On June the 9th, 1341, 15 days before the truce was to expire, three princes of France's royal council met leaders from the Anglo-German coalition in Flanders, and they agreed to an extension to August the 29th, 1341, ostensibly to allow for more serious negotiations. A peace conference was called into being at Tantoing, a castle overlooking the Scheldt River on the border of Flanders and Hainault, and it was due to convene August the 1st. In England, Edward III ordered the ships for his invasion fleet to be ready to leave port by August the 15th, and the troops a week later. So he's planning on hitting them just as the truce is ending. In hindsight, it's possible to see that Edward III's plans for 1341 were doomed to failure. After all, he had reluctant allies and, to say the least, a weak financial position. Still, King Philip VI and his advisors took them seriously, and they had their hands full with warlike preparations. From April to November 1341, a strong fleet, including 21 galleys, mostly French, from some Spanish and Portuguese auxiliaries, cruised between La Rochelle and the Biscay ports of Castile, just in case the English should attempt to land their army in Gascony. All merchant ships between Calais and the Gironde River were surveyed for war service. Relations with the Genoese were patched up well enough to enable rowers and crossbowmen to be hired for the surviving vessels of Doria and Grimaldi. Plans to reinforce northern frontier garrisons were made. The general summons was issued in May to assemble the army at Arras, a week before the expiration of the treaty. So the French are planning, just in case something happens, to be prepared. And then the men were also deployed to the southwestern part of the country to deal with Gascony. But there are other issues that are building on both sides, and we'll have to wait and see what that is. Now, one of them is an unusual event, which is the death of the Duke of Brittany, and a succession issue. So that's what we're going to have as a little bit of delay, but that will also play in the Edward's hands as well. Now, the sources for this, of course, the History of the Hundred Years' War by Perrois, the History of the Hundred Years' War by Nylands, and Volume 1 of the Hundred Years' War, The Trial by Battle, by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, which of course can be electronically put on USBs. And if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.